My goal tonight is to talk not a lot, and that's going to be a miracle, but I want to do it because it's not, we're going to do enough teaching to get the word in, but we want to experience his fullness tonight. That is the goal, amen? So let's pray, agree with me on that goal, amen? I'm serious about that. Let's be in agreement because you have as much to say and about this service and the flow of it with your faith and being in agreement as me or anybody else who's up here tonight. Father, we just come before you. We come into agreement for your perfect will to be done tonight, Lord God. I sense your pleasure. I sense that you are so excited to pour out your spirit. You love this. You love to give your children the kingdom. You love to pour out your spirit. How you are the best father ever. And if we, as our parents, being good parents, but they're not, but compared to you, they're evil because they're natural and they're not perfect. If they love to give good gifts to us, how much more will you give good things? And specifically, you said, Lord, in your word, how much more will you give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we thank you, Father God, that this is that night, and it's just the first of so much more, because you who began a good work, not just in us as individuals and as families, but as a youth group and as a church, you shall complete it. You promised it. You shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we judge you faithful, like Tyler was talking about, like that song was talking about, like Sarah did. We judge you faithful that the things you've spoken over Sozo, the things that Sozo would spark in this church and in this community and in this region, it shall come to pass because we will dare to be filled with your spirit and filled with your fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so there's two things. There's two things tonight. Number one, believe. Everyone say believe.
Believe.
And number two, receive. Say receive.
Receive.
Another word for receive is yield. So I want to say my first point is this. Jesus is a gift to the whole world. Amen? Amen. Jesus is a gift to the whole world. Amen? For God, John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. And guys, don't let this verse get old to you or like, I know that. You have it up there? Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Man, it's an amazing verse. It's an amazing truth. God loved, so he gave. Every single person, how many of you will believe that every single person on this planet, including me, including you, will stand before God the Father, the only judge, and he will ask, what did you do with my son, Jesus, that I sent on the earth? How many of you will believe you and I will have to stand before him? Amen. I believe that. Point number two, the Holy Spirit. We learned about it last time I spoke, that he's another Savior. He's one just like Jesus. Jesus said, it's good that I go so that he can come. Another helper, advocate, standby. I already said advocate, but that's a good one. Another helper. Say it again. Amen. I believe, guys, listen carefully. And that's what, this is what sets, this is what, I'm telling you a message that I wish with the speakers could get out to all the churches in the world, because at the end of the day, there's one Lord, there's one baptism, there's one church, and the Church of Jesus Christ needs this message. I believe we're going to stand before God, and he's going to also ask us, what did you do with my Holy Spirit? I don't mean to get all like deep right now, but it's something that's so in my heart ever since. Because just listen to this statement. Write it down if you're taking notes. Jesus, just like Jesus is a gift to the whole world, the Holy Spirit is a gift to all children of God. that is where we're going to launch today, because I know, and if you need Jesus tonight, then this is your night to get Jesus in your life, get him Lord in your life, get him up on the throne of your heart and your life, where he belongs, keep him there, amen. And let me tell you something, though, the baptism in the Holy Spirit helps you do all of that. It helps you get close to God, helps you worship. The fullness of God in our lives is what we were created for. Do you notice in Romans 3:23, it does not say, for all have sinned and fallen short of heaven. That's the way we think about it sometimes. That's the way it's preached sometimes. Well, because if you just get into Jesus, then you're going to get into heaven. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone say the glory of God. The glory of God. I don't think any of us, all of our encounters with God put together, I don't think we could touch what the glory of God is. I just don't think. And I know there's some great, crazy encounters represented in this room. Like Antonio was saying, all kinds of people could look around at what God's done. Pastor Tamara's in the house and what they've seen. But because his glory, the Bible says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's the very next verse. A lot of the church will just stop there, but we're not going to stop there. We're going to go into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. He's a loving Savior. He cares about us. He wants to bring out the best version of us. The best version of me? So everyone say, the best version of me is filled up with God. Amen? Because I can do crazy, not good things if I don't have God. And I know we can all attest to that. So we talked. I want to bring us to this room. Jesus had risen from the dead. He's in this room. And in Luke 24:49, get it ready, guys. He goes to his disciples, people that have seen him, people that have walked with him, people who know his heart, know his ministry. Did Jesus raise the dead? Did Jesus heal people? Come on, any participation? Did he speak amazing words of wisdom? Did he operate in the gifts of the Spirit and just speak things prophetically and give words of knowledge, knowing things about people that there's no way he could know it except that God spoke it to him? Because remember, he came as a man. He was born as a baby. I don't know babies that have words of knowledge, that know all things, that can do all things, that can be all places in one place. That's why he came as a baby, because he had to be able to be tempted like us. And he was, but without sin. But that also means that he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and operate in the supernatural like you and I need to. He needed the Holy Spirit because he chose to become a man. And he breathes on his disciples. I don't know how, one day hopefully God will show us, like he's got his old DVR room or whatever, and we can check out and see what that was like. I bet it was amazing. He breathes on them. I believe with all my heart, theologically, that's where they were born again. They were brought into Christ. He breathed on them. Their spirit was made new. But then a couple minutes later or whatever, he said this. He said, behold, he said to the same group of people, his disciples. By the way, his disciples who he said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to everybody. Cast out demons. And by the way, he said, speak in other tongues. And lay hands on the sick, they will recover. If snake bites you, won't hurt you. I mean, you know, all those amazing things. Basically, such a commitment to go everywhere that to tell people about this great news. What's the great news? That Jesus came into the world and he's reconciling people back to God. Amen. That's always God's heart. And that is such on the heart of God, and yet look what he says here, knowing that now they can remit sins, now they can heal, now they can go out. But look what he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, that means wait, everyone say wait, tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Everyone say power. So wait a minute, Jesus, who has already told him to go, 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 go. And he wants every single person on this planet to hear the good news. What does he tell him?
Wait.
Why in the world does he tell him to wait? He finishes it and tells him right there. Until you are endued with power from on high. I told you guys a story a while back how I used to go to, I played basketball with a friend of mine. I was in between high school and college. Another story. And usually that's pretty quick. Anyway, and so I would play basketball on a Monday night with my friend. He's like a mentor, and he would come back so excited from something, and he would be talking about Jesus and how many souls he won that day. And he started talking about how he went soul winning, how people gave their lives to the Lord, how he went to the mall and he was praying for people and great things were happening. They were encountering, and you know, and some people, maybe they didn't accept Christ at that moment, because remember, it's not going to, you sow seeds. Seed time and harvest, that will remain. And so he's just sharing about really what, how excited he was to share the good news, because it keeps us on fire. It keeps us on track. That's a big part of God's plan. That's why ripe is so important. That's straight from the heart of God. And I said, man, that sounds so good. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Take me. Take me. Take me. I felt like a little kid. Like, take me. I want to go witnessing. I want to go soul winning. I want to go to the mall. I want to, like, talk to people about Jesus. It sounds awesome. And he told me, not yet. And I was like, I knew in the back of my mind, I didn't have a lot of experience with Christianity, but I knew that I was saying I wanted to do something that a lot of people don't normally say they want to do, and I wasn't, like, proud of myself. I just wanted to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I just wanted to go and tell people. It just was in me, and now he's telling me to wait, and I was like, well, I trust him. I wasn't offended or anything. I said, there must be something that I need to wait for. Alan was acting like Jesus. I had not experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There is a subsequent experience that we're going to get into right now. Don't take my word for it. You brought your Bibles, right?
Yeah.
Let's look in the Word of God. We're going to look at a couple examples. We're going to see that it's a subsequent experience to salvation that God wants to do in every single believer's life. Just like there's an experience of coming into salvation. That's kind of similar. You know what it's like, by the way? I heard this once. It's like the Red Sea parting. Salvation is like the Red Sea parting. You can see the end of it. You can see, oh my goodness, there's Egypt, you know, there's Canaan land, and they're just like, they could be dancing, they're excited, they're running down this dry land. Well, many years later, they went into the Promised Land finally, and they crossed another river called the Jordan River. And do you know how that river, they crossed that river also, but not the same way. God did not open the whole thing for them to be able to see the other side. Do you know how they did it? They would take a step, the water would be all up here, and that's the river, and they had to get over there. And they would take a step, and when they committed to take a step on, looked like they were going to fall in water, the water would recede. And then, oh my God, well, that worked, it worked. And then they would take another step, and there would be water here, and then as they're committing, they're putting their weight forward, boom, the water would recede. That is how they would cross the Jordan River, because God, when we get born again, it takes faith, but not a whole lot of faith, because it's just kind of like you're crying out to God. That's why you can hear people say stories like, I just said, God, if you exist, I want you in my life. And next thing you know, they're on fire for Jesus. Because God is so willing to give us his salvation. But he expects a little bit more when we're his children and we're learning his word and when we're his disciples. That's why it's so important. Our pastors have the mission. What's our mission statement? Two words. Making disciples. Amen. So we're learning how to be made disciples. Do you see how that's faith? It's an amazing experience to get to the other side of the River Jordan. But it takes faith. Everyone say, I got faith. We all have faith. You have faith. Amen. You have faith to activate the power of God in your lives. And the same way, and this is good, the same way that the power of God is activated tonight by whatever experience you have with God. If you've never spoken, if you've never been filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or maybe you've never prophesied tonight or before, or maybe you've never had a word of knowledge, or whatever God wants to do, because we're not God. He's God all by himself, and he can do what he wants to do in your life tonight, but we're going to activate it. We're going to believe him. And the same way that that happens tonight, whatever your experience is tonight, and I encourage all of you, get your encounter with God tonight. Don't wait for camp. Don't wait for a fasting session and at the end of fasting. No, right now. Everyone say today. And then, but that, and I sense this prophetically, the same way that we step into something new today, that's the same way we're going to step into another experience of power another day. But guys, remember, ripe. What is ripe? Yes, it's reading the word like disciples do. Yes, it's inviting. That's what I was going to get to. It's inviting. Prayer and expectation, but it's centered around getting other people into the kingdom of God. When you care about what God cares about, then there is no lack of resources that God wants to get to us when we want to do his will. There's no lack. And that's what Jesus is saying here. I know you want to get out there, and you want to get busy doing my work, but wait to be endued with power from on high. Let's go to Acts 2. All right, so Acts 2, this is the same people, not too many weeks later. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Now, what are they doing? They're in the upper room. They're in this room in Jerusalem, simply obeying Jesus, waiting. By the way, probably over 500 people saw Jesus raised from the dead. Infallible proof that Jesus was risen from the dead. It could, maybe all of them were invited to this. I don't know. But I know that it says 120 were in that room. So I don't know. It took a few days. They had to stay, had to really call Jesus, you know, stay true to his word, hold him to his word. You know, like, we're not going to leave because I know a day's gone by, but I don't feel any more empowered. Nothing has happened. So there is a waiting there. There was for them. Everyone say for them. But not for me, okay, because today is that day. They kind of set it up for us. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. Everyone say fire. And one sat upon each of them. I love that. Each of them. God doesn't leave anybody out. Each means one. Amen? Each means me. Everyone say each means me. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I got a question for you guys, practical question. Who did the speaking in tongues? Alex, who's the one who did the speaking? Look at the verse right there. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it says right there, and they were all filled. Who's they? What? All the disciples that were in the room were filled with the Holy Spirit. Who did help Alex out? Who did the speaking? They. Everyone say they means me. They did speaking. So Holy Spirit's going to come on a lot of people tonight. Maybe a first-time baptism. Or maybe you're going to get a rebaptism, refilling. There's nothing wrong with being refilled. Amen. We're supposed to be being filled, but we can get refilled at you know, when there's emphasis like this. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, let's go to Acts 19. Acts 19, we're going to look at one more account. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Listen to Paul's heart here. It's God. How many? Paul had God's heart, didn't he? That dude was on point. He was on purpose. They're walking up and down the coasts. They're not just throwing, you know, seashells back in the ocean and finding sand crabs. Like, they're finding disciples. And he says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What does that, tell me? That tells me that the Holy Spirit, what he's talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, is separate from believing. It can happen at the moment of believing. I believe that is that's the correct biblical model. You'd be baptized into Christ, you're saved, and then you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. There's not one example of it in Acts that you can say that they didn't speak in tongues. There's some of them that we have to infer tongues, but we're not going to get into those. If you have questions about those, you can talk to me later. We're looking at two specific, explicit, clear examples that are, what are they doing? They're building our faith, and then we're gonna take our step into the River Jordan. Amen? He said to them, they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Okay, so then Paul says, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So what's John's baptism? Repentance. He was the forerunner for Jesus, right? So then Paul's thinking, oh, awesome. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about like the one who came after him. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What happened there? Keep it there. They were saved. What is the baptism of the Lord Jesus? Practically, what do? I got a screensaver on or a wallpaper on one of my devices, and it shows me giving Alicia a hug and then Sarah and Joaquin back there. It was an awesome day. Does anybody remember that day? What were they doing? They're getting crying. They're moving on with the plan of God. They're getting baptized. That is that water baptism. I'm pointing to the stage because if you don't know, behind that screen there's a baptismal. And that's where we baptize people. And the baptism in water represent people, it shows that we're going down into a watery grave because our old man died in Christ. We died to sin, and then eventually we bring him up. The very first person I baptized in this church, because I've had the privilege of baptizing a lot of people, I remember, dude, it was crazy. I'm like, all right, I got this. I've never done it before. I didn't learn this in Bible college. They did not. I mean, I wasn't even in the pastor's group. I don't know what I'm doing here, okay? And I'm just like, all right, I'm going to do good. You can trust me, Pastor Drew. Let's do this. And I'm just like, okay. And he asked the question, do you love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus. And I don't know if I should say her name. Anyway. I'm starting to bring her down. And you know how things like go slow motion, but they're really not happening slow motion, but in your mind? I realized she was not that way enough. She was too tall, and she was going to hit her head on the baptismal. And she was not a small person. She wasn't like Savannah that I could just pick her up and like move her over here. And I was, in my mind, I'm going, oh no, I'm messed up. And sure enough, like, I'm trying to like nudge her this way, but it's just not working. And I just like, boop, and she like nudged her head against the baptismal, but I think she probably thought it was all part of the plan because like, you know, you gotta go through some pain to get Jesus sometimes, you know what I mean? And I was like, hey man, you did good. You're a trooper, hallelujah. And so, that was my first baptismal. Oh my gosh. And I bet, Pastor Tamara, did you know that story? You were in the audience, so if you don't remember, like, you know, there was no blood or nothing, so it went pretty smooth. You really want to know who it was, huh? Just because we're going all over the airwaves in the world, we want to. It was Cookie. You remember Cookie? There you go. I don't think anyone knows. I'm like, we're going to respect everybody's name. Her name's Cookie. I guess I just realized it's on me. It's not on her. Okay, anyway. So the baptism in water, that's the baptism into the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid, you know what, can you just jump real quick to Matthew 3:11? Because I need to do that, and then we'll come back to this and we'll finish. Jesus said this. Everyone say, Jesus, attention. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. I'm sorry, that's not Jesus. That's John the Baptist, false doctrine. Okay, my bad. My bad, I corrected it. John the Baptist is saying this to his disciples. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's John's baptism. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Did you know that Jesus did not baptize any of his disciples? Because that was the water baptism was not his baptism. That was John's baptism. Anytime Jesus baptizes us, it's with the Holy Spirit and fire. It is written. Anytime Jesus baptizes us, it's with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh, one more thing. This is Matthew 3:11, but it's one of the only stories or words that are in all four Gospels. Many of them are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is like a whole another beats to his own drum, something like that. He just, he's inspired by God, but had a different vantage point. All four Gospels, because it was so important. Let's go back to verse 6 of Acts 19. Now, this is our model tonight, amen? And I want to assure you guys tonight, it's not about tongues, it's about God, amen? It's not about even just the experience, it's about getting closer to God. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I experienced this for the first time, it changed me more than when I accepted Christ into my life. Now, I'm not talking about theologically. I became right with God when I accepted Christ. But it was all inside me. I wasn't able to tell people. I wasn't worshiping God at a higher level. I wasn't experiencing him more. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, like Paul was so focused to walk up and down the coast of Ephesus, when I experienced that, it changed me more than when I went to church for the first time and found God. And look at this. And when Paul had laid hands on them, hands, there's a point of contact. That's a doctrine in the Bible called laying on of hands. And it's just a boop. It's just whenever it's a point of contact, meaning it just happens at a certain time. You know what it is? This is our point of contact. There's the water. The point of contact is boop. Or you could say it's whenever I decide that I'm not going back. I'm either getting wet or it's going to recede. That's our point of contact. Whatever you choose to be, that's a great, whole other great lesson sometimes when it comes to releasing our faith, but point of contact. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit, how many of you believe the Holy Spirit came upon them? See, they're not demanding, they're not commanding, it's not, and if it happened for them, it's going to happen for us. Amen. He's not a respecter of people. So this is what Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.